Okay, welcome for the discussion, English medium. And we have completed 1 hour single medium discussion. Now we are going to have almost 1 hour in English medium. So before going to the formalities, if there is any interview reports or any suggestion or anything to do, anyone having any other issues to discuss before we go into the Sutta Nipata or any topic? Otherwise, I would like to invite Venerable Buddha Rakhita to read the book.
Yeah, there is nothing from this in Bhante this
good,
time.
Good. That means we are directly go to the our appointed Sutta.
So we are reading from the Sutta Nipata again, and it's the chapter of the octaves. And Bhikkhu Bodhi translates the Atadada. How do you say it? Atadada Sutta.
Atadanda.
Atadanda Sutta.
Atadanda Sutta.
As one
it's having
takes,
a stick, having a club in one, your mind, in your hand.
Yeah,
a weapon.
One who takes up a rod.
Take up a club.
So again, just to remind people again, the context of this sutta is that there's a conflict has broken out between the Kosalan and the Sakyan clans, and it's a dispute over land and over basically how a river has moved. So the land that was formerly on one side of the river is now on the other side of the river, and the clans are going to go to war over this, who owns this land. And so the Buddha intervenes in this conflict to try to teach the Dhamma to his family members, and to try to avert this war, this conflict between them. And so we've reached this verse: one should be truthful, not imprudent, without hypocrisy, devoid of divisive speech, without anger. A Muni should cross over the evil of greed and miserliness. Not impudent. The evil of greed and miserliness. One should vanquish sleeplessness, torpor, and dullness. One should not keep company with heedlessness. A person whose mind is set on Nibbana should not persist in arrogance. One should not let into false speech. One should not engender affection for form. One should fully understand conceit, and one should refrain from rashness. One should not delight in the old. One should not form a liking for the new. One should not sorrow over what is diminished. One should not be attached to an attraction. So we may not get through all of these verses today, but I wanted to give these as a block, because here in some ways this instruction that the Buddha gives, one should not, is, I'm not sure, I could definitely do with the input from Tero, from the Sinhalese and from the Pali, how this is being expressed, one should, because in English this grammar is a little bit awkward, because when we say to somebody you should or you shouldn't do something, implicit in that is an imperative, that you, it's an order or it's a command, whereas it can also simply mean that it's the proper thing to do. Yes, one should do that. One should choose that path. Or one ought to do it, or that's what I'm trying to get at here is when I was reading this, what really struck me was that these are very natural qualities of a serious yogi. When you can see in meditators who are practicing well, that they automatically become truthful. In fact, they really cannot, they will struggle to not lie even, but they will get quite particular even about how they speak. To that, truthfulness becomes a very important quality of the mind for a yogi who is practicing well. And one is naturally averse to hypocrisy. In fact, when one is practicing well, the mind, it really doesn't like hypocrisy. So it is important to have right view, that one say to oneself, okay, I should not be a hypocrite. But I think a lot of hypocrites are not aware that they're being a hypocrite. Their mind is kind of muddy, so they don't see the hypocrisy, or they're not sensitive to the hypocrisy, or they're not cautious of the hypocrisy, or they may even like the hypocrisy, because being a hypocrite can be very much part of business. Devoid of divisive speech. Again, there are people who enjoy divisive speech. They love setting up one person against another person and playing the two off, and making political expedience out of the whole situation. But to a serious practicing meditator, this divisive speech is, again, very difficult for their mind to engage with. They will really be troubled by this. So it's not like, so that's where I'm, I feel this like should. It's a very difficult language, this should business in English. I often try to teach kids to be very careful of this should. You should do this, because it's shaming, and it can be manipulative, and it can be, you should do this. Well, why should you do it? Sometimes we need to think about it. Whereas the Buddha is actually pointing to a very natural states of mind, that the diligent, ardent practicing yogi naturally cannot even do. So the oil separates from the water, and this is the condition of the mind. The mind that is the mind of a diligent practitioner is naturally truthful. How do I say it again? Is it imprudent?
Impudent.
One is not impudent. Like...
what is the simple translation, impudent? What is another synonym for impudent? No mistakes.
So I looked into the dictionary for this. Impudent is also insolent, and it means showing disrespect.
Yes, please. Insolence?
Insolent.
And?
And it means showing disrespect.
So, impudent is also goes with like hypocritical. It goes with deception. It's tricky speech, tricky behavior. You can also be impudent in your behavior. Divisive speech, hypocrisy. Without anger, a muni should cross over the evil of greed and miserliness. So again, a diligent yogi is very... is not greedy and is not miserly. So greed and miserliness can go together. And it's generosity is the opposite in nature to greed and to miserliness. And in the path dana sila bhavana, you can see that dana or this opposite to greed and miserliness is a profound practice. And as we, are successful, or we have more than we need, then we run into this challenge of greed and of miserliness, because we don't enjoy giving. And this miserliness is a very difficult obstacle. It's a very difficult obstacle. And... yeah, it's a lack of pleasure in things, really. I find people who are miserly, they don't even enjoy what they have, you know. They really take no pleasure in things. So they have wealth, but they don't even enjoy it if they're miserly, because they're usually guarding it and defending it, protecting it, hiding it. And, they don't even enjoy what they have. So anyway, I'd be interested in this point here, that the Buddha is not telling you what to do per se. He's more or less pointing out the natural attributes of a good yogi's mind anyway.
I got a little confused because you mentioned about the sleepiness and the sleep. So that now I have to go to this verse number 7. So we are concerned in the number 7. He gave the background, but one social aspect you have to understand. Two clans, one thing is a father's clan, otherwise it is mother's clan. So there is this Kolya and Shakya. They are in the two sides of the river, and the floods come and change the river shape and kind of the people are fighting. The Buddha went there and one time he just suppressed them not to fight each other. Second time also, the third time they kill each other, the water of the river become blood. So this is the one where the Buddha is telling them, please consider I am from your clan. Don't fight. Blood is thicker than water. But still, first, second, he managed. Third time, the devastation happened. This is the way he contemplates himself. When my father and mother is fighting each other, and the father's clan and the mother's clan fighting each other, how my qualities, my patience, my developed qualities, helping me not to take father's side or mother's side, not to take the fighting side. But he finds difficult to induce that qualities to the father and mother and father's clan and the mother's clan. So it's a kind of a confession. I am not carried away by the father's side or mother's side or mother's or father's clan. But because I have these qualities, what are the qualities? I develop so much of asceticism and frugal life. Therefore, I can tell them. I can't convince them. They are blood boiled. I am calm. So therefore it's a kind of a contemplation, it's a kind of a confession, it's a kind of a inner chatter of a Buddha. So you have to understand what a difficult task. Present-day politicians sometimes have this kind of a situation. Leaders sometimes have this kind of a situation. And the monks and the religious people, they have that kind of a situation. He himself can try. I'm still with the struggling. But other parties about to kill each other. So what must my behavior? What must my profession? What must I tell them? They are not ready to listen. But Buddha is concerned about we people 2600 years ago will open the book and learn what the Buddha was thinking, what the Buddha was contemplating. But Kashya, Sakya, Kolya, they can't. We also may not understand it. So profound. But we take 1 hour, complete 1 hour, sit and learn it. It's such a detailed contemplation, irrelevant for the fight. Fight is happening outside in the blood and flesh. But this is utterly internal ascetic qualities. So it is related to how we in two times, two ways. One thing is, when you are practicing, these things can happen to us. Even to the Buddha it happened. It was a failure, even to the Buddha. But first time, the second time was a success. Third time, a failure. So how can we use it? We are not answerable for anything in the world. Everything in the world. Sometimes our answer is valid. Sometimes it is not valid. But it is give a reflection for you to understand situation is so complicated. You can't give answers to all the questions. There are some unanswerable, very heavy, very complicated situation. Under this slide, if I am to read the seventh, this thing, Sachosthya apagabbo amayo ritta pasuno akkodano loba pasa papang vevichang vitare muni. Each and every word is a pregnant. So much of shades of meaning and so much of connotation and denotations. And his interpretation and my interpretation also different. That is why Sutta Nipata, we have so many translations. And we have taken Bhikkhu Bodhi. Because Bhikkhu Bodhi has gone through all the other translations and he is a bhikkhu, he is a monk, so we take it. But don't limit to that. There are a lot of other shades of meaning. So if I am to translate the Sri Lankan translation, a person who is dedicating and placing restraint towards the Nibbana, that means bhikkhu or a yogi, satyen yuktavanne, he must be true to type. You must understand there are two things in the world, the camouflage and the show-off and the truth. So if you are leading to the Nibbana, if you wish to have something in this very life, you must understand the truth, reality, not the concept. Very difficult, but you have to go with the truth. Pragalbe nativanne, he is not arrogant, he is not adamant, he is not... irony in the society. You can teach the people in the very harsh way and kind of thing. Pragalbha means you don't concern your seniors. You can take the first seat, and when you are going to place, you don't care whether the person coming behind it is a teacher or an elderly person. You go and serve yourself. But the Buddha says, example, when you are going to the toilet, don't consider the person coming behind. It's a very urgent thing. And when you go to the bathing place, if it is a common place like that, don't worry about the person coming behind the senior or not. Because enough space there, teacher also can come. But all the other places, when you go on Pindapatha, when you go to the dining hall, when you go to the water places, not for bath, you have to see if there is someone, if it's a senior person, to come and say, Bande, why, you need this one, please. Take my place, I am going to serve. This is called apagabba, that's humbleness. And this is called humble and the innocence. And the murder of, no, the, there's a huge series of writings with me. And he was a Trappist monk, Catholic monk, very serious. Ultimately, he met one of the Zen master. Then he wrote book. He says, if you are innocent, you are back at the paradise. If you are you're not innocent, then how do you call the pragalba? I don't know about the bhikkhu. Maybe pudent, impudent. You don't care who is behind. If it is so, you are deprived of the paradise. This is what happened to the human being for 200 years by learning. Learning made you completely impudent. You don't care who I am. I have the certificate. I must have the job. You don't care the ethics. You don't care the culture. You don't care the ground, background. So this is what happened. This is what I call, this is what I read as hidden curriculum. It's a calculated thing. You imagine the people living in the village, they are always respectful, whatever the religion, seniority. You don't care whether it's a virtuous person or not. That is called apagabba. So Buddha has given very classic, very colorful examples just to be humble. The Buddha says, for an example, this bowl, if you give a gong, it has a resonance because it is not broken. If it is broken, it will not resonate like that. So if you are full of conceit, you're selfish, if someone come and tell you, you will keep on talking like. But your self is broken. I mean, you are restraining, not to show off, not just to be one-upmanship. He says, yes, yes, you are correct. And then it's like a broken, it's a kanso upahata yata. Kanso means this is a metal vessel. Upahata means crack. If it's a crack, it will not resonate. So you like a crack ball or... good ball. Good ball is good resonance. Never one can argue with you. Will ever keep on arguing and you are showing yourself. This is called pragalbha. Apagabha means you are just like a broken vessel. Someone come and say, he may be wrong, you may be correct. Even then, you are not going for debating, arguing like that. But we can do arguing with for the sake of understanding of the philosophy. But don't try to be a complete vessel. Just be a crack vessel. That is what is called pagalba, apagabba. Apagabba means it is a very complete vessel. If someone give a tap, so much of inner talks and outer talks. And apagabbo amayo. Amayo means you are not conceiting others, you are not acting. You are true to type. To the whole world, when you go to the advertising world, you go to the cities, you go for the capital cities, it's utter bullshit. For example, if you go to the Times Square, you see what is happening. Everything is glittering and people are there. This time when we go there, the Vidura wanted to see, one boy took us in a vehicle. He told, if you are lucky, you can see fully naked girls. Last time I went there, I was not heard about, I never see. And this time when we are going there, we close windows and when we are beeping, and two girls came half naked and said, do you want to take a photo with me? And while this is happening, we were passing, I saw one girl with nothing. Driver, they must see, Vidura, he can't see. And unlucky enough, he's too cold and she has put a towel on the shoulders. This is the world we are aiming at. That's the classic, the most developed place in the world, Times Square. So this is called Maya. Other word is Leela. Other one is drama. Other one is camouflage. Other type is advertisements. Today, each and every girl, every boy, wish to be an actor, be a role model, or model. They decide, if you are a girl and a model, you must have the shanky legs and the very thin, hip and tall body. Earlier, the Victorian age, they must have the big breast and hip must be big and shanky legs is not there. All these decided by pharmaceutical industry. People are trying everything at their prime age just to show off. Parents are promoting it. They don't understand it. Ultimately what happens? I had some photos, some prostitutes in Thailand, and they are doing sex job. And at 29, 30 they get AIDS and they die. And their skeleton is offered to monasteries, telling, this is my prime age and this is my most beautiful photo. Please hang this skeleton in your monastery when you are meditating. Put my the photo besides, telling my biodata. I did sex jobs, sometimes with a baby, also died. Skeleton is baby skeleton and the mother skeleton. You see it's short cycle. And they are offering it to the monasteries. So this is what called Maya. They know it. But everything run by money. The monks are taking 5-10% of the prostitution cost as a commission. I am not the proven data done by that country. They are providing prostitutes to Sri Lanka, India, and main source is there. Business is run by monks. I am sorry if I am insulting someone. Sri Lanka also, in Colombo, it is happening unofficially. Monks are the people broking to find the prostitutes from the village and they run spa. They don't know what way are they used and using for this kind of maya. And these girls are crying. Once they caught up into the court, they send to Kadwela. This is society-based rehabilitation, Prajapadaka Vishodhane, and they are the best in mindfulness. They are beautiful girls, and they are punished to come to the meditation center and serve one day in the meditation center. I work one day in the center. We use it for one day walking meditation, sitting, and they say, Bhante, without the punishment, you also let me come in, because we are poor village girls. We are taken to the spa because no jobs. When we go there, they call this a prostitution. We don't know. We have not meant for that. So this is called Maya. This is called the town life. This is called the capital life. This is called the civilized life. So in the village life, and rather radical thing I would put, if you are living alone, it is irrelevant. If you are living in two people only, the maya is happening. If you live up to yourself, here now I am, slowly, mindfully, silently, maya is not manifested. There is no observer. There is no spectator. You can do anything. Completely naked, or completely attired with a double robe and all the kind of things. Who else to see? So in 1978, my teachers and everything told this whole drama whenever you become civilized. Vinoba Jnanarama used to say, as far as you are Kulyakarei and Ganayakarei, if you have any bondages, if you have your relationship with your clan, if you have the relationship with the society, you are a slave. You are a mentally upset person. That civilized person is a sick person. Civilization is a cancer. Because we have an alternative. We can live in the forest. Here now I am. Maybe one split second. 1 minute. Or at least one place in the Minisarnamani. Then you can understand who the Buddha is. No maya. You can see Hindu. So much of ritualistic and all the kind of thing. All camouflage. In Sri Lanka, marriages, ordination, higher ordination. What a kind of a camouflage. Vintupan Dhammika used to take me to the Candid Temple to relics. And there are 10 monks have been attired like a king, put on an elephant, taken for the high ordination. Before high ordination, they have to give the maximum the luxury. Let's say give a king's attire and sponsored by the temple Tutra League, taken to the other the Mallathanikaya for higher ordination. Big pageant. Utter shit. When I go there, I feel sick. I mean, what is this? Is this the Buddha? Is this the high ordination? This everything is maya. So organization means maya. Civilization means maya. But we have to be with that. We must not be breaking them, but we must find the soul is here, now, I am. So when you are sitting, how many thought moments you are in here, now, I am? How many thought moments you are thinking of the past and the future, other people and other places? You are sick. You are macerated. You are pulled into two sides. And your mind do not like here, now, I am. It's a birthright. You are born with it. So Buddha is giving. Hey, Daniel, never mind. 99% you are with the past and the future, other people and other place. But try to be one out of 100 and promote it. How to promote? You have to be enlightened. Otherwise you can't promote. I am repeating. You must be enlightened to promote 1%. Because 99% is big number. We are such a heroes. We try our best. In the discussion also we try. So one monk, I went there and I talked about it, I have idea of becoming a monk. But he never become my teacher became a monk. He says, I'll tell you one thing, after becoming a monk, getting enlightenment is impossible. After the enlightenment, getting a monk is something possible. Understand? So try to be enlightened. When the Dhammika told, why you have so much of urges to become a monk, he told, no. If you go to the monks, monkhood, because they are doing dirty things, you will disrobe tomorrow. Because you are a dynamic man. One thing you can do. You can be mindful till you become, whether become monk or not, is equal. That you can do as a monk. As a labor, I did 9 years. I reported Venerable Dhammika about 5-6 years completely. Then he went away. I try my best to practice, not to tell anyone, not to show that I am going to be a monk. I am a fully successful lay person, but I know double game inside my mind. I do every possible thing for the clans and the friends, and then ask, please go. I have to be unto myself. I did it with my director, also the Norwegian guy. I told, give me everything, take me everything, please leave me aside. Then he came one day with the white clad and sit on the ground till he asks me, please tell me what are you doing. Then I told, I can't explain, but I'm utterly happy when I'm just sitting on the ground. And if you are not here, still I am happy. I am happier. That I had no way of communicating. That is because amayo, no drama, no camouflage, no role play, true to type. Evening we two are fighting, we two are arguing. He also won't give up his idea, I also won't. But we don't say we are trying to convince him. I am not trying to convince him. He can't convince me. No. But we keep on dialogue. We have a dialogue and the debate. No harm. But I can't do with others. They will take personally. Sometimes he also take personally. I also take personally. Tomorrow morning we will say, Bhante, don't worry. It is for the sake of argument. Very difficult. That is why divorces are in the world today so much. That is, you got the maya. And ritta pasuno. It says, satya yukta vanya, pagalbanate, mahanati vanya, prahinakala, peshunya. That means tail carrying. Don't tell about him without he is available. If he is available, I can directly tell, hey, you told me this thing, you did this thing, I did it to you. That's enough, finished. But if he's not there, all the Irish people are very bad. And unordained Irish people are better. Ordained Irish people are the worst. If I'm going to tell like that in his absence, ask him for trouble. Because he is not my whole life. It's a part and partial. But I can tell him directly. So that is the way. We have no peshunya. Peshunya means tail carry. Today, each and every monastery run by tail carrying. Run by the how do you call, peshunya, what is the tail carrying, another term for in English? Politics are completely dependent on the tips and the rumors, not the rumors.
Bribery?
Not the bribery. That he misled about me by telling him something stories about me. You are a tail carrier. He is happy with you and me. But we two are fighting. You know how to tell, what to tell. So that is the tail carrying. So that is why Buddha says, samaggānan taposuko. If the monks are in unison, if the monks are very friendly, meditation is very easy. Monks always have an idea about he is a good monk, he is a bad monk, he is blah blah blah, he is blah blah blah. So people are coming and fertilizing it. So then I can't meditate because my mind is in a chatter. But instead I can tell, I consider you as a good, I consider you as bad. No harm. But we must have, gone through these suttas, otherwise Koliya Sakya, they will fight each other because they don't know how to resolve these things by not to have pesunya, tail carrying, akkodano. You have so much of anger, krodha. Krodha means it's a kind of an enmity. That's a sectarianism. You are lay, we are monks. He is from another sect, I am from another sect. You are Chinese, you are American. You are Jewish, you are German. So you see, in blood, it's a blood boiling thing. This is what you call the history. It's a fallacy. It's a patriotic fallacy being taught in the school as a class subject, history. What a crime. Children born with no sectarianism. That education make them, it is ultimately ending up with the Sakya clan and the Koliya clan. They are fighting for water. Water is fluctuating yearly. But this time he can't tolerate. They are fighting each other. Because Koda, today 40% of the American economy is for weapons. When the Chinese, the weaponry or war industry going 20%, Americans say, you can't spend 40%. You must be keep it under 16%. If you are now taken it to 20%, it is a threat. They are spending 40%. That is the world police. Who the hell? Lucky enough, Sri Lanka have no money. We have no warfare. And we are borrowing it and we are running short. So therefore today, whole scientists are working for CODA. They are working for pharmaceutical. They are working for warfares. They are called the medical science. It's a utter warfare. Nothing but a warfare. But they think they are discovering this and that. The best thing is not to fall into sick. Best. Instead of talking and going against the doctors and kind of thing, please, mind your own business. When the pain happens, contemplate pain. To keep the doctor away, have an apple a day. It's easier. But you have to be with pain rather than be with the doctor. So that's what the Buddha says, Sakya clan and the Koliya clan fight. But the thing is, bear it up. Don't say Sakya is good and Koliya is good. Then they will be promoted. Just bear. It's my father and mother is fighting. I am a child. I am young. But the Buddha says, never mind. I am not sectarianism. That means I am not with the left half of the brain. I am with the right half of the brain. Accepting the totality. So that is never taught in the universities, nowhere. So no ethical rights, no ethical shame, ethical healthy shame and healthy fear. It's completely lost due to the present day education. Ultimately end up with hatred. So outcome is mental upset. Ultimately self-hate. They are hating parents, hating teachers, hating government leaders. 100%. 100%. Dalai Lama told, I saw this the first time I saw in person, he told, earlier the hatred of the children to the father. But last 40 years he shifted, now hatred is to the mother. And therefore if you do not wish a world war, mother has to sort out in the kitchen. The family harmony, then no world wars. Now children are look into the mistakes of the mother. Fathers are now become house husbands, not the housewives. They become house husbands because of the technology. Because female, they say, is feminism. They want to have rights, take it. Ultimately what happened? They earn the hatred of the children. Education system, more than 80% female. 86% of the teachers under the frustration and the tension. America, 37%. Sri Lanka, 86%. Because of the head. They don't know why it is happening. So because they are not learning themselves, they are teaching. Teaching someone's theories. The children are hating them. Judges are being hated by the clients. Kings are being hated by the subjects. Teachers are being hated by the students. Parents are hated by, therefore best thing is not to have children. Or not to marry. Maybe now too late, never mind. That's why the Buddha says so. Akkodano, loba papang. And you have to not only get rid of the desire, you have to get rid of papa. Misdeed, don't contemplate upon misdeeds. Forget about and be here and now. Many people die, sleep with their own mistakes in their mind. Cursing themselves. That is what you call, you are admiring your mistakes. Your past means mistakes. Always remembering past mistakes. Then you are brooding. Then you are, it's a cancer. So get rid of it. But moralist people don't like it. This is, you must worry about your past. You will go to hell. You will be punished. But see, when you are in the present, when you are in the here and now, no hell, no punishment, because you are contented. That contentment is your birthright. So therefore, getting rid of papa is very difficult than getting rid of your merits. We think merits are less and papa is big. It is not. That is according to your labeling only, papa or merit become merits or papa. So understand it in the present moment. Prejudgmental and without preconceived ideas, you have to be an enlightened before you become meditator. Very difficult. That is why these things are making your mind, preparing your mind, the mindset or the starting point for the sitting, starting point before the walking. Have a mindset. Accept anything as it comes rather than preconceived idea. It is put into the words choiceless awareness. Mindfulness is synonym with the choiceless awareness, evenly suspended attention. But you cannot be a human. Because humans are always with the preconceived ideas, always with self-curse. So mindfulness gives an outright license, forgive and forget, be here and now. So that's very difficult for the Buddha to teach your mother and father, because they have already taken weapons now. They are threatening each other. Now he is contemplating, how lucky am I? Because I am not biased to the mother and father or that clan or this clan. I am happy because I am with no preconceived ideas. And he is sharing with us after 2600 years. He is sharing with us after 2600 years. You can, darling, you can. Don't underestimate yourself. Don't be inferior. Try at least one split second. In breath is equal out breath. Left leg is out equal right leg. Wandering mind is equal to mindful mind. I am not mad. I am telling. So when I go to Kaduvela, when I am giving the interview reports, they are reporting, Bhante, at the beginning I can see the left leg, in-breath and out-breath, slowly they become equal, they merge, they become faded off. And that time thoughts also the same. Sounds happen, sounds also the same, no impingements, no infliction, pains also happen. Then I say, yes, at the beginning, in-breath is in-breath, not the out-breath. But now, in-breath, out-breath merge. And wandering mind and the mindfulness merge. Then I say, please try to be wandering off and see the breath. Let the wandering mind to take you for a ride and just see whether breathing is happening. That breathing is an arahant breathing, enlightened person breathing, because it is no more. You are in the wandering mind. But you are looking the breath, that breath is no self. Sometimes you are walking and wandering. Mind is in the wandering mind, you can see walking happen very smoothly. Walking happen effortlessly. Walking happen like a autopiloting. Then you can see once you enlighten, this is the way you are walking. The last retreat in the Perth, I told this, and next day one girl told, Bhante, I was doing walking meditation and sounds was distracting, and I see walking is effortlessly happening. I saw an enlightened being. I am finishing my interpretation. This is the way the saint is crossing the flood. So your question was that the should and shouldn't. But there is no should and shouldn't in vipassana. No self-curse. No preconceived idea. Your present day should is shouldn't next day. All these are changing. So you must be ready. Today should is shouldn't today. Therefore don't tell there is a permanent intrinsic should and shouldn't. They are changing. This is evolution nature. That's all, sir.
Sadhu, 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 saminans, sadhu, sadhu. This one verse really, as you're, I can see your swaminansa, this is getting right to the, seems to be getting to the point of this whole worrying, how people should be truthful, and when people are fighting, they're not truthful, they're saying, you know, they're creating falsehoods and lying, and then not impudent, so they're not showing respect for each other. You can see they're being very rude and hateful to each other. They're not respectful. then they're hypocritical. They're pretending virtue. We're the best side. We're going to, you know, we should get the land. You're not good. You should, you know, you sort of point out the faults of others when you're fighting. And divisive speech. Swaminathan says you are speaking as creating, you know, telling mistruths about people, trying to get, you know, create the fighting between each other, trying to promote the fight by divisive speech. And everybody's getting angry. And so without anger, a muni should cross over the evil of greed and miserliness. You can see in, you know, this conflict, there's greed and miserliness that's going on. And it's really amazing how this was happening then, and it also speaks to our present situation in the world and all the fighting and division among people. And so I really appreciate, Swaminathan, your bringing up all these points about how we people tend to be this, have these. I mean, we all, you know, as human beings, tend to have these qualities of hypocrisy and impudence and untruthfulness, and we sort of create divisive ideas about things. And and I can see all these things in my own mind, that's one thing, you know. And I can also see how meditation, how practicing meditation helps us to become, I like the way Swaminathan, you were saying about the, maybe it was Thomas Merton who spoke about somebody who's very humble, the cracked bowl, not becoming, going on and on about when somebody bothers you, you come up with all sorts of troubles and for yourself, and arguing, and how somebody who's, you know, just being humble, it's just accepting things as they are and not showing a lot of arrogance and, I guess, me, you know, I've got to be right. I find with myself it's a tendency to want to be right and want to be seen as good. So there's, you know, if we tend to do this, we tend to have our wanting to show ourselves. And that also maybe comes under hypocrisy, wanting to look good, wanting to look good in front of others. So we may tend to pretend. But I also remember, you know, that the practice of meditation does help us to come back to reality and to see our thinking and our tendencies of hypocrisy, impudence, untruthfulness, and greed, miserliness. We can, if we stop and just pay attention to the here and now, we can actually experience reality as it actually is, and we can actually see how our mind is trying to jump in there and do some of these things. It continues, the mind continues to do its tricks, but we can see them because now we're more present to that. We're not involving in it. We can see it from a bit of a distance. And so anyway, the meditation, it's a pure thing to do as well. It's not, it's a pure activity that's not involved in any of these, you know, it's not involved with others. For instance, in particular, when we get involved with other people, these sorts of qualities arise, but if we can take time to just look at ourselves in our direct experience, we are not continuing the sort of breaking the cycle of our tendencies to be disrespectful or impudent or hypocritical. And it's kind of, I feel it's like relearning just how to be simply human without the need for these constructions, these fabrications that arise when we're in contact with other people. So that was just my thought. And so, I was wondering, what is Maya?
Camouflage. Delusion means you act in such a way that you are showing unavailable qualities, telling I am a such and such and all the kind of thing, boasting, okay. Boasting and camouflage or boosting self, Maya. It's a drama. It's a Maya means that you make a theater in a such a way people forget about their family life and they absorb in the drama. They are not dancing in a such a way. It's all a Maya. It's a camouflage and it's a kind of the whole world is a stage. People are actors.
Sort of like putting on a mask, too.
Yeah, that's a kind of mask. That Venerable Dhammika's best word is Leela and Maya. Leela is you are doing it in a rhythmic way. You are not so rhythmic, but in the dancing and music and everything melodious. It's Maya. But the birds are singing. It is not a Maya. I mean, it's natural. We copy them and put into the piano and try to do it and repetitively we are doing utter bullshit. So you see the music industry, second to the pharmaceutical industry, and you have to listen to the Michael Jackson. Ultimately, he got 50% of the musical industry. At the beginning, he was a slave. He, you know how to seduce him. Ultimately, he got shares. Now he also in Maya. And the Super Bowl, halftime Super Bowl.
Halftime show.
So what the way? People forget about everything, and you are completely absorbed. He takes the best person and give 15 minutes. So we also look at it. From Sri Lanka, even after the Super Bowl, we see YouTube. Such a Maya. We are very happy to be drunkard. We have to be happy with absorbed and the drugs and hallucination and trip and many, many things. So don't blame with the people, those who are addicted. We are also addicted. But we are with addiction is decent. Even the Supreme Court judge is addicted. The king is addicted. They decide this person must be killed. Because their addiction is illegal. Because law is king's and the Supreme Court judge's law. Utter bullshit. And the present day Sri Lankan law is Dutch Catholic, Dutch Roman law. We in the forest monks are being decided by the Dutch Catholic law. Dutch Roman. I told Gotabaya, the president, you see, you are supporting and following the Dutch Roman law. I am a Buddhist monk. We are illegal living in the forest. The Vedda fellows and the aboriginals, illegal living in the forest. They are born in the village. And the villagers growing up cultivation in the forest, illegal. Because what? They wanted to have the tea plantations. They would have the hotel industry. Now your law is that. I have 3 cases in the court.
It will, what the crime. The forest monks are being prosecuted, telling they are living in the forest. And recently also, person came, he told, we are encroaching into the forest. Our lawn is too big. It must be reduced. So our secretary asked, please let us have a decent lawn around, because we need walking meditation. Otherwise we get feverish when the forest is too close. It is none of your business. You can be here, but you are encroaching. Because you are being judged by the Roman Catholic law. Even the Rome, it is not functioning now. Dutch law is not in the Deutschland. No, Dutch is the, how do you call, Netherlands. We are so obedient to the law. So who is the Supreme Court judge? Who is the cabinet and who is the parliament working under this kind of situation? I am fighting my best to introduce Buddhist jurisprudence. We introduce a course in Nagananda Vishwavidyalaya, tell the Buddhist jurisprudence is much wider. It's not Buddhist. It's better than Roman Dutch law. Government is completely against. Only the Bhutan. The Bhutanist Supreme Court judge, ex-judge came. It's a short fellow. I told, you must be in Sri Lanka. But you are telling the truth. He says, Bhante, your blessing is much, much value than me. Please bless me. Because I see in Sri Lanka what a culture and what a hotbed for the Buddhist jurisprudence. But I told, our government is Catholic. Roman, Dutch, everything. So we are living under Roman Dutch law. Before the death, I try my best to at least bring this, the Buddhist jurisprudence. I am not a politician. I am not fighting for that. My mindfulness and Satipasala and the global village is to tell the Buddha gave a wider one. Why we are blindly following this Roman Dutch law, which is not in Rome, not in the... Netherlands. So we are in such a irony, such a hypocrisy. So not that we are rebelling against that. We are telling, please let me have normalized, be with the normal way. So only a Buddhist monk can talk like that. Government can't, judges can't, doctors can't, lawyers can't. They are completely governed by, their promotion will be stopped. I can. I shout. Even in the mindful school, I tell, please try not to fall into sickness, otherwise you are in trouble. Whatever you earn, everything will be lost. They are imposing you diseases. I am imposed with diabetes. I am imposed with the cholesterol. I got the test recently. This is, you are fairly managing your diabetes. And they are restraining my food. They are restraining my trips. What nonsense. I am a Buddhist monk. I am living in the forest. I am living on the people, food on the people given. I have no my rights to tell this and that. I have to manage within what is given. But I am happy. So this is a kind of a maya. It's a kind of a, we are in a snare of these bloody fools in power, in money. I don't care because I can go to the here and now. I can, whenever I go to here and now, I am released from this old maya. And I have to maximize it. I have to facilitate it. I have to tell them, please, it is your birthright. Don't worry. You are not a bankruptcy. You can have. And I am sharing it with the prisoners. I'm sharing with the drug addicted people. I'm sharing with the cancer patients, saying that don't get upset. This is something imposed upon you by bloody civilization. The person I can't remember, he was a very good, nice person. He hates capital punishment. And he told, no one can decide the other's capital punishment. It is something of a trap. You go. Martin Hugo or Luther Hugo or Hugo. He was fighting. He told that it is crime. I am decided to kill him. What's the power I is having? I am having because my Roman Dutch law. Then he is a crime. I am a deciding. No. Victor Hugo. Yeah. So his philosophy, he's not a Buddhist. He says, don't interfere into the other psychology. You have no rights. You can't decide other person to be punished. Who? What is the authority? Maya. It is what you call hypocrisy. People have organization and then penalize the poor person. No powers. But mindfulness gives the equal rights to the judge, the king, and the beginners. So I says, don't fight with them. Be mindful, and you are a king. You are a Supreme Court judge, because your present moment is completely liberated. But it is momentary. But every one of us at least experience one split second. So we have a common ground. Now it's our duty to maximize till we die. And tell others, don't suffer telling you are a cancer. Don't suffer telling I have a capital punishment. Don't suffer telling I have addicted. Because this addiction is a civilization problem. It's an utterly civilized problem. All the kings are addicted. All the kings are criminals. They are not. They are deciding upon others because of this maya. But the Buddha gave domestic answer, be here and now, you are free, just like a bird. That's enough. Anyone wish to... enough time. Okay, I'm sorry that we have taken more than 1 hour. Does Chinese understand?
No.
No.
Study.
Study. But lucky you have a Singaporean friend.
Yes,
he will. Singapore will not be happy what I'm telling. You accept? Sukhi hum tu. Sadhu, sadhu anumodami.